Revelation chapter 22, the book of Revelation chapter number 22, and they're going to be working with our bus kids in the back this morning, doing something special, so I'm going to get right into the message today, do things just a little bit different here this morning, change it up just a little bit, and bring you the message here from the Word of God. Now, all bus workers, everything. If we're going to do something for your bus next week, you got to be in the meeting tonight. We're having a meeting tonight to decide. Is it raining? It's doing something out there. Hallelujah. We're praying for a big snow the week of New Year's, about 8 inches deep, and then a heat wave 2 days later, melt it all and get spring. Wouldn't that be just a perfect winter? But we want you to pray for those that have the flu. We got a lot of people. Just hold it till I get started, Brother Mike. We got a lot of people sick with the flu. I mean a lot of people. Whole families out with the flu this morning. And verse number 7. The Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." The Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly." I want to preach this morning on the subject, if Jesus came before Christmas. If Jesus came before Christmas. The next event on God's calendar is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next tick on God's clock is the coming of Jesus Christ. 318 times in the New Testament, out of 260 chapters, we're told the Lord is coming. For every verse on the first coming, there's 8 verses on his second coming. If Jesus came back before Christmas, I want you to listen to me this morning as I preach. When somebody asks you what you want for Christmas this year, you know what the right, real answer ought to be? I wish the Lord would come before Christmas. Because if he don't, this world's going to get worse and worse and worse. And here's what's going to happen to everybody in here. You're going to have problems, a few little good times, get sick and die. That's your future. That's your future. So the best thing could happen would be Jesus to come. You say, "Oh, Brother Danny, I want to get married and have a family and all that." That's all wonderful. You can have a few good times. But basically the forecast is, it's going to get worse and worse. You're going to get sick and then die. The best thing could happen to you would be for Jesus to come. Amen? The best thing could happen to a child of God would be for Jesus to come. And that way all our problems would be fixed. You're not going to get through this world without trouble, and without trouble and problems and burdens. Bible said man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now that's not the kind of preaching that gets you a very popularity contest these days, but it's the truth. God's called me to preach the truth. I try to preach the Word of God as it is to people, as y'all heard about this guy the other day. And preachers are not supposed to do this, and I try not ever to do this, but sometimes preachers have done this, and I've heard them. Sometimes a preacher will have a problem with somebody in the church, and they'll get up and just blast that person. You ever heard a preacher do that when it's obvious who they're talking to? That ain't right. Preachers have no right to do that. If I got something problem between me and you, I ought to be man enough to come sit down and talk to you face to face. I shouldn't have to use the pulpit, and I don't. I don't think anybody can accuse me of just saying, "Well, Brother Danny just talking to me." I'm not. I don't do that. I'd say the same thing whether you're here or not. But this one preacher got up one time, and he was mad at one of his deacons, and him and him had a little falling out. And I mean, he zeroed in on that deacon. I mean, he done everything but call his name. The whole sermon was right to that deacon. I mean, it was just like, I don't know about these people that sit on the front row with these hair dudes that ain't got no hair and wear camouflage shirts, and I ain't calling no names or nothing, but act like her, you know, like, I mean, it was obvious. He just zeroed in on that guy the whole time he was preaching. He thought, "Well, I'll I'll just nail his hide to the wall this morning. Well, when it was all over with, people started coming out the door. And he said, this woman came out the door and she said, preacher, that was just for me. I don't know how you knew what I was doing, but you nailed it me this morning. He said, okay, ma'am, God bless you. Another fellow came out the door. He said, preacher, you just don't know. You was talking right to me this morning. I know it. Preacher. Another fellow come out. He said, preacher, you called my name this morning. You know, finally, that deacon come out the door. He shook his hand. He said, preacher, you really told them off this morning. That was good. That's the way people are about preachers. That's the way people are. The ones that need to get it don't ever get it. I've been preaching for years and years, and the best people in the church is one that come to the altar all the time. That's a weird thing, isn't it? The ones that need it the least usually come to the altar the most. That's what preaching does. So I'm going to preach this morning about if Jesus came before Christmas. If Jesus came before Christmas. Now, I want to say a few things about it. And the first thing I want to say is, if he come before Christmas, a lot of plans would change. Amen? A lot of plans would change. That's sound effects. A lot of plans would change. I'm telling you, brother, if the Lord come before Christmas, you talk about a change of plans, there'd be some change of plans. I mean, think about it. If the rapture hit about, let's say, next Sunday night, the day before Christmas Eve, next week, what in the world would people do? Well, I thought about that. I was preaching one time, and he got up and he was preaching, and he was quoting Matthew 24:27 that said, when the Lord comes, it'll be like lightning flashed from to heaven. That's really on the second advent, but he was quoting that scripture about the coming of the Lord, and he said, it'll be like the lightning flashed from one side of heaven to the other side of heaven. About that time, a light fell in the church and just busted in the floor and electricity shot out right when he said that. And boy, he said people jumped and screamed and hollered, and he said it'll be just like that when Jesus comes. You've heard me tell this story before. Years ago, I was in Marion eating a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And it was one I think it was Wednesday evening before church. It's dark, like this time of year when it gets dark real early. And I was in there about 5:30, 5:45, 6, and it was full of people in there. It come a big old storm like this right here out there. And I mean, it was thundering and lightning, weird for this time of year. And it was pitch dark outside, and I was sitting in there eating chicken and getting ready to go, and I was about through, and about that time, a lightning bolt struck up the street there from the church, the old Kentucky Fried Chicken in Marion, and a power went like that, and a transformer blew up, and it got pitch dark in there. I mean, you couldn't see. The street lights is out. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. And everybody in there went, woo! And then it got deathly quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And I was through, and I just stood up. I stood up and said, remember, it's going to be like that, just that quick when Jesus comes. And hollered it out like that. And there wasn't nobody said a word. It was like, and I just got out and walked out the door and got in my car and left them sitting in there like that. And they was all looking around in there, pitch dark. Who said that? Who said that? And I said, Jesus is coming. And you know what? There'll be people sitting in the restaurants eating. There'll be somebody driving down the road. There'll be somebody wrapping Christmas presents. There'll be somebody. You might be on your way to work. Buddy, when it comes, a lot of plans is going to change. Listen, if Jesus come before Christmas, you talk about a change of plans. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, all the Christmas plays, just millions of people. Now, our hearts are broke this morning because of what happened up there in Connecticut. I'm telling you, I've been sick over that all weekend. My stomach hurt that day. I mean, all that happened, I don't even know none of them people. I can't imagine being there and going through what those parents are going through. It's a terrible tragedy. It shows the depth of human sin. Every time we think the world's getting better, it gets worse. It shows the depravity of the human heart. Somebody said, well, that man is just crazy. Well, why didn't he go bake a bunch of cakes and cookies and stuff and do something good for people if he's crazy? He's not crazy. He's led by demonic spirits. That's the thing. Being crazy don't lead you to do that. Demonic spirits, according to the Bible, lead you to do that. Amen? We need to see that in perspective and for what it is. It's demonic spirits. You know what they done in the Old Testament? When Herod wanted to get rid of Judah, he started killing babies. You know what they done in the New Testament? When Jesus came the first time, they was killing little kids. You know what we're doing now? We're killing 4,400 per day in this country by abortion. Over 4,000 every day. It's a sign that the Lord is coming back. And so this girl will go to Grandpa's house. And she'll go, and all of a sudden the rapture hits. She knocks on the door. Grandpa don't come to the door. Grandpa! Grandpa! And Grandpa's gone, but his door is locked from the outside. And she looks in there and Grandpa's not there. Finally, they get somebody and break in. And there's Grandpa's glasses. And there's Grandpa's overalls. And there's Grandpa's Bible laying there. And he's gone. And then they'll call somebody. And the phone lines will be jammed. The 911 calls will be so great. I mean, just up there, what happened this week? You saw how jammed that was and you couldn't get through and couldn't get the police. Think about if millions of people in this country disappeared all at the same time. Think about it. You couldn't get a call through to 911. You couldn't, if you tried to go over to your parents' house to see if they were still there or if they were gone or whatever, and you say, Mama told me something like this was going to happen. I heard that preacher say this was going to happen. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it would really happen. I mean, the Lord wouldn't do this, would He? And they're gone. Your wife's gone. Your husband's gone. Your kids are gone. You think about that. All those little kids that are protected by the grace of God. But some of y'all sitting there like, oh, I don't believe. Let me tell you something this morning. This is going to happen just as sure as you're sitting in that seat. Just as sure as your name's what it is, the Lord's coming back, and if He come before Christmas, a lot of plans would change. You say, don't talk like that. That scares me to death. You better get ready. You better get ready. As far as I know this morning, there's nothing between me and the Lord. If He come right now, I'm not perfect. I ain't been perfect. But as far as I know, I ain't got no deliberate sin in my heart this morning. I prayed all night. I fasted yesterday. I begged God to give us victory. And if He comes, bring it on, Lord. I'm ready to go meet You this morning. Hallelujah to God, brother. The lot of plans would change. Hey man, you can have my house, you can have my Christmas tree. I mean, brother, you can have my. You gave my Bible. Carrie gets that, but she'll be gone too. She better be. Now you can have my Bible. I'm telling you something, brother. You can have my car sitting out there. A lot of plans would change if Jesus come before Christmas. Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, brother, did you notice all they talked about on the news was the physical cliff, the physical cliff, the physical cliff. Then when that happened, the physical cliff got put on the back burner, and all we saw was the tragedy. That's the way it would be if the Lord come back. If the Lord, it would be on every channel. Those news guys would go insane. They'd say, we don't know what in the world's going on. We're getting reports in from the Pentagon. We're trying to wait on a speech from the president. He'll be speaking here in a few minutes. Amen. We're trying to wait on what Congress is going to say. They're going to come out and they're going to give us some kind of... Some of y'all are slow or asleep or on Prozac or something. I don't know what's wrong with you. You're dazed out, man. But I'm telling you something this morning. A lot of plans would change if Jesus came before Christmas. You think about an airplane. You think about an airplane crash and all the planes that have pilots in them that are saved. And I mean a saved airplane pilot. And about that time, and boy, the stewardess come running back to there. Ladies and gentlemen, put on your oxygen mask. Make sure your seat belts are securely fastened and your seats are in their upright and locked position. We are headed for some... You talk about turbulence, brother. I don't know why they make... Why in the world they make you put a seat belt on? You're going 600 mile an hour and straight down. That seat belt's really going to do you a lot of good. You'd probably do better off leave that thing alone. But anyway, I'm telling you, them plane crashes will be everywhere. They said, we have a report of a plane down in New York. We have a report of a plane down in South Carolina. We have a report down of a plane, and we don't know if this is terrorist. We don't know what's going on. They'll be interviewing rabbis. They'll be interviewing priests. They'll be interviewing preachers. They'll be on there and they'll say, well, we thought this might be something religious. Like, oh, no. We're still still here. If it was God, we'd all be gone. But that's to deceive the world and the Spirit of the Lord. You talk about looting. You talk about people running in stores stealing TVs. And brother, it's going to go wild. The Holy Ghost is gone. Out the land. There's no more conviction of doing anything wrong. You talk about bad, brother, it's going to be bad. You talk about Christmas plays being canceled. You talk, I mean, millions of people that were involved in church events will be gone from this whole world. I'm telling you, a lot of plans have changed. You better get your life right this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, you better get your life right with God, because the Lord could come before Christ. All this stuff going on in this world, there ain't a thing could stop Him from coming this evening or tomorrow morning. I'm telling you, people, the Lord's coming back. It's never been harder to get people to come to church. You can't get people to live right. Can't get people to even sing with us. You can't even get people to say amen. Give their money. I mean, brother, never before have people been so backslid on God. If Jesus came before Christmas, a lot of plans would change. Amen. Car wrecks. Parents will rush to the school. And the kids will be gone. And they'll say, where's my kid? The teacher says, I don't know. I don't know. There's 8 or 9 of them missing out of our class. Well, where are they? I don't know. A lot of people's plans would change. A man will wake up and look over there and his wife is gone. He says, honey? Honey? Honey, you in the bathroom? Honey, in the living room? There lays her nightgown and pajamas. Bible. She'd been trying to get him to go to church. She'd been trying to talk to him about getting right with God. If Jesus come before Christmas, a lot of plans would change. Listen. I heard them say on the news this week, they said evil has come to our community. Well, you know what evil is? It's devil without the D.
That's right.
And the devil has come to that community and this community. I got a friend of mine in Florida told me the other day. He said, Brother Danny, he said, we had a 16-year-old girl just this week hang herself. He said there's been 5 teenagers in the middle of Florida that have hung themselves in just the last few weeks. You know what this girl's problem was? Her friends were getting on Nosebook saying bad stuff about her. And a girl that age can't take that kind of stuff. She thinks it's the end of the world and the whole world hates me. And she hung herself. What's causing this stuff? I'll tell you what it is. Are you listening? You say, well, I ain't got the answer, preacher. I got the answer. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. In the last days, they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's all in the book. God said it would happen. He said it's going to get worse. And if the Lord don't come, it's going to get worse next year. Buddy, you ain't seen nothing yet what's coming on this world. You ain't seen nothing. You say, well, you're taking away all our hope. No, I'm giving you hope. You're not supposed to have our hope in this world. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm trusting Him to come and get me out of here and take me to a place that's fairer than day. Hallelujah. Amen. If your hope's in this world, you're in for the biggest letdown. And people who have all their hope in this world don't like to hear man talk like this. Because they say, well, I wanted to do this and I had plans. It's all right to plan. You ought to work like you're going to live forever and live like you're going to die tomorrow.
That's right.
Places. Number 2. A lot of places would change. The scenery. Imagine church buildings everywhere. Cars in the parking lot. People driving home for the holidays will stop at the store. Have you heard anything? Have you heard what in the world? Why is the interstate blocked? Well, somebody said there was a bad wreck up there. There's cars hit head on and there wasn't even nobody in them. And they said, what? They said one man was in driving, but he wasn't even driving. And he's out there screaming. And saying, what in the world is going on? And immediately, the leaders of this world are going to come on and they're going to all meet together. that UN and have these big summits, and they're going to all meet together and they're going to discuss, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You see it? Can you see it? It's setting the stage for a man to step out there and say, I'll solve the world's problems. And the Bible said he'll come. And the Bible said he's Satan in the flesh. Just like Jesus was God in the flesh, the Antichrist is the devil in the flesh. He'll have the answers to all the problems. People will be drawn to him. He'll be able to answer their questions. He'll say that our ancestors, which came from another planet, that's what they're trying to prove right now with a space program, that aliens put us here and we're an experiment, that they came and took all these people out of the way because they were uncooperative with the New World Order, and they were transported to Alpha Centauri somewhere, the nearest star, to be rehabilitated so that the world can be a better place. Now you say, that'll never happen. They're already saying that. They're already saying it. And the Bible said God will send them strong delusion that they'd believe a lie who to receive not the love of the truth, that they might be damned who didn't receive the truth. Listen, if a man rejects the Bible, if you sit there this morning and reject God's word, and you say, I don't care what the preacher said, the Bible said, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. You know what's going to happen to you? We're going to leave here. You're going to be left here, and you're going to take a mark on your hand and on your forehead, and they're going to put that computer chip or something inside under your skin, and you can't buy or sell or get a job without that chip. And we are moving 90 miles an hour toward that right now. And the only thing that will have to happen to make that all stuff start taking place is an emergency. And the rapture is an emergency. A lot of places would change. Yes, sir. Fires. Buildings on fire. Rioting in the streets if Jesus came before Christmas. Thirdly, I said, number one, a lot of plans would change. So if the Lord come back before Christmas, a lot of places would change. Lastly, number three, a lot of people would change. I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says when the Lord comes, He'll change our vile body. A lot of people would change. Amen. He'll change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Amen. Is there anybody here that's 100% happy with your body? No. We all got stuff wrong with us. We all got aches or pains. We all got, you got a big nose, or you're too little, or you're too short, or you're too big, or you're too ugly, or you're too... ain't nobody in here win no... ain't no magazines in here trying to take pictures of us, I can tell you that. Some guys at the flea market the other day, and he said, I seen that picture on us. I said, I know that guy. And I said, yeah, we should have never put that on there. And ain't nobody going to come to church if they see that. They think we're having a Halloween something or another. But I'm going to tell you, brother, our vile body is going to be changed, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Amen. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've been thinking about having a little cause, man. I guess it's all right. Try to look as good as you can. I'm not saying, I don't know, whatever. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm waiting on the Lord to make this one perfect. And the Lord's going to make mine perfect, huh? Hey, it ain't going to be perfect down here, but He's going to fix all of our imperfections. The second we go up in the rapture, we get a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. I'm telling you, glory to God, a lot of people will change. Job said, I'm going to trust Him and wait until my change comes. The Bible said we shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. Amen? I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus came before Christmas, that may not mean a lot to some of you this morning. Most of you are in pretty good health and you're okay, I guess, today. But I'm telling you, brother, you take some of these people in these rest homes. I've visited people in rest homes, and I've been a lot of times, and we will Wednesday night. They're sitting in there in a wheelchair like this, and they're like this all, and drool just slobbering down on their clothes, and they sit there all day till somebody comes and fixes them lunch, and then put them back in the bed that evening. They do the same thing tomorrow, the same thing the next day, the same thing the next day, the same thing the next day. I'm telling you, you think something like that, like the Lord coming back, ain't the answer for somebody like that. Science don't have the answer. Religion don't have the answer. Education don't have the answer. I'm telling you, them people's waiting on the Lord to come. He said, when I come back, you're going to be with me. You're going to be like me. Ladies, if y'all, listen, if we believed that this morning, we'd shout the roof off of this building. Glory to God. The day's going to come when we're going to get a brand new body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Get right with the Lord this morning, people. Get right with the Lord. I don't know what you're holding on to that's cheating you out of your joy, but I guarantee you, you're getting the short end of the stick. You ought to be enjoying God and enjoying Christmas. You say, well, I just don't want to quit that sin. It ain't worth what you're missing. I'm telling you, there ain't no sin worth being ready to meet the Lord when He comes back. I visited Miss Hazel Carswell the other day. She's in the hospital for a few days. I don't know if y'all know that. And I went to see her, I think it was Monday, in the hospital, Monday evening, in Marion. Bless her heart. Her little old hands are like that right there. She's about 86, maybe. Like that. I said, Miss Hazel, I love you. And she'd just look at you like that and I said, I love you. Put it right in her ear. And she'd say, I love you too. I said, you know who I am? You might have to holler like that because she can't holler. You have to get right in her ear. And I said, I'm Brother Danny. She said, Brother Danny. And grin, I mean, she'd been like that for years. You ever had to live with pain? A lot of you young people don't know what it's like to live with pain. You know why young people are a little more wild and take a lot of risk and old people are more conservative? Because young people ain't never had a lot of pain. The pain will wake you up right quick, buddy. It'll make you realize this world ain't what you thought it was. And there's people all over this world that live in pain. Every day. We used to visit a man up there in Swannanoa at the VA hospital when I first started preaching. And me and these boys would go up there and visit him. And he was a black man who'd been in the army and served his country and served God. And he was one of the most best Christian men I'd met at that time. I forget his name, but he had both arms and both legs blew off. All he was a head and a body, just to hear. No legs and no arms. And he just laid there in the bed. He couldn't do nothing. They had to feed him, turn him over once in a while. And me and my buddies would go in there and visit him. And he called us Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, there's my buddy. And I said, man, how's it going? And he said, boy, the Lord's been good to me. The Lord's been good to me. Lord's been good to me. I'm saved and I'm ready to meet the Lord. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. I mean, you think of that. That old boy lay there for days and days and weeks and years like that. And I'm telling you, one of these days when that trumpet sounds and that Lord just comes down from heaven, and buddy, that old just like that, immediately, he can do what no doctor will ever do. He can do what no hospital will ever do. He can do what no medicine will ever do. He can do what no therapy will ever do. That old boy will have good feet and good arms and go shouting down the streets of gold. I'm telling you, a lot of people would change. Hallelujah. We'll leave our imperfections behind. I mean, we'll leave that time clock behind. You won't have to go to work. You won't have to worry about what you eat. We'll be able to eat in heaven all you want and enjoy God. I mean, you'll able to walk through doors with your brand new body. You can't hurt. You can't age. You never get old. You stay perfect peace and happiness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. A lot of people would change if Jesus come before Christmas. Now listen. What a Christmas present. No pain. No bills. No worries. And live in a brand new mansion paid for forever and ever and ever. I want to give you this and I'm through. You say, Brother Danny, what would happen if Jesus came before Christmas? A lot of people would change. 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were laid on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl in the bed, not ever once kneeling or bowing their heads. Mom in a rocker with the baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. And what to my wondering eyes should appear But angels proclaiming Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of His face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like He said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw Him in spite of myself. In the book of life He held in His hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as He searched for my name. And when He said, "It is not here," I hung my head in shame. The people whose names He had written with love, He had gathered to take them to His Father above. With those who were ready, He rose without sound, while all of the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I'd waited too long and sealed my fate. I stood and cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only we had been ready on this night. The words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is very, very near. There's only one life, and when it comes the last call, we'll find out the Bible was true after all. That poem's not doctrinally correct, but it makes my point this morning. The Lord's coming. The truth is, you're not even going to see Him when He comes, unless you're ready. If He come this week, a lot of plans would change. A lot of places would change. And a lot of people would change. Let's stand with our heads bowed.